There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Do you feel like there's unresolved feelings?
Mm-hmm. I know that the amount of anger I feel for him, I understand it's not healthy.
I wish that there could just be a calm conversation where it's like, I know I f***ed up, I shouldn't have
but
done
he's
that.
Never gonna say he f***ed up. He hasn't even told me he f***ed up about the main thing.
Do you almost feel like when you're looking at him that it's like you just like threw me away, like I was just like nothing?
Yeah. He knew like all these like deepest, darkest parts of me, and like he just like doesn't.
You guys, hello, welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. That was a clip from this week's Vanderpump Rules. It was real emotion coming through. It was heartbreaking emotion coming through. I felt so incredibly bad. And one of the things that I think is lost in this whole thing is that she's also dealing with not only the grief of this relationship, but as we know, she also had lost her grandmother and one of her animals in the past year. And so I think there's a lot coming out right then. And her sitting down with Shishi and Lala to explain this, I feel like we're finally having a breakthrough moment with these gals. Because specifically with Sheena and Lala, it seems like they haven't really understood everything. And I could only imagine, think about this, how I was thinking about this week. Last few weeks on the show, we've seen Thomas Sandoval being so upset about Rachel not returning his calls. He says he was in love with her and she's not returning an email or a call or whatever. She went away and is not talking to him no more. And he thought he was in love with her. And so I think there's also a betrayal happening this season, and it must be so incredibly difficult. I don't know if Ariana's actually watching this season of the show, but if she was, it must be very difficult to also see your significant other of 9 years that you lived with, and that, as she explained in that clip, he knew all these deep, dark secrets inside of her. And then now, right after post-breakup, he's not even showing any sort of sadness or remorse or anything in regards to Ariana. He's seemingly only showing on screen that he's sad about Rachel, which is crazy, and that must be a total mind fuck. And so I can only imagine what it's like when she's watching this season, if she is watching this season, but it's fucking crazy. It's crazy. And Lala, it seems weird because, you know, on the show, as we're watching it, it's like, I don't understand where she stands, because finally we had a breakthrough moment with it. She's sitting down with Shishi and Ariana, and it seems like Lala really finally got it when Ariana was explaining it in that clip. But then in present day, she's like really going on this crusade on different podcasts. I'm seeing clips all on social media and stuff where she's really going hard. And so I don't understand exactly what happened. I do have some theories, though. Actually, this week, I really started to laser in on some theories, because we had this whole storyline on this new woman, Tori. It was like she's old, the babysitter, potential babysitter, or whatever. Sheena knew this woman, Tori. And now she's hooking up with Katie and Tom Schwartz. And this reads very false to me. This is set up by production. I don't believe any of it. But I do believe that this was the turning point for me, where I really finally realized, like, oh, production stepped in and was like, nothing is fucking going on. And I don't know what was happening behind the scenes, if it was because people didn't want to film with each other. And again, I just have to reiterate that they did have a 9-year relationship. So I do understand why Ariana wouldn't want to film with that demon. I get that. But then I think something happened midway through where they were like, okay, we all have to figure this out moving forward. We got to figure out how to either film as a group or something, because the show is too separate. And so what I think happened halfway through, production sat them all down and they were like, look, who did we have sign a release form? They had Tori sign a release form, the babysitter gal. So they were like, you signed a release form. We're going to put you in a fake relationship with Katie. Maybe have you pretend you fucked Schwartz. And then, and we're going to make a love triangle. So I feel like Katie was like, okay, I'll do it. And then Schwartz was like, I'll do it. And I think they all kind of realized at this point in filming that something had to happen. Something had to happen. That's what I'm reading into, because this whole thing with Tori feels like completely out of left field, and also feels nuts and totally fake. It feels like the lizard funeral to me, where it's like, we got to get something going. So like, let's make up something. And Katie is just going and stealing. And do I think Katie should steal Schwartz's significant others? I certainly do. I certainly do. And don't even get me started on that man this week, Schwartz. Shoeless Schwartz is really pissing me off this week. I have a problem with a lot of things, but specifically the way he's making me feel about Sloppy Joseph, because I'm having sympathy for Sloppy Joseph this week, and I feel so terrible that that man led her on for a year, and I don't want to feel bad for Joe. I don't, but I do feel terrible that he just sort of strung her along, and she obviously has a different idea of what this relationship is. She's going into every scene with him doing the character work and thinking that they're in love, and now he's telling her he's not interested, even though they live together. It's like, well, stop sleeping with her. Don't let her live in the house. If you have no interest in a relationship with this woman, then come on. And then he's having a fake relationship with Tori on screen. I feel bad. And the other thing I was saying in terms of reading into what was going on behind the scenes in production, I do feel like they just sort of mic'd up everybody because we're getting like some crazy ass confessionals this season. We're getting a lot of supporting characters that never once in the past 10 plus years that we've been watching this show have they ever mic'd up for this show. And so a lot of these side characters that never seemingly worked on the season, where all of a sudden have to mic them up, put them in front of the red light, and throw them on dates with the cast because the main cast members aren't able to do anything, or they're not doing anything on screen for us to watch. And so I think Lala tried to course correct too much. So when production sat him down and said, we got to get something going, why don't you two fuck the babysitter? I think Lala was like, okay, what do you need me to do? And then she's like, I'll just go hard on Ariana or something. And so I feel like that's the role she decided to take. And it was like, okay, step back, girl. Calm it down. Cause you're going maybe a little too hard. And it's not reading as believable. Otherwise, a lot of this doesn't make any sense. And to me, this was a little bit of a flop week. Like, I thought it was so interesting to actually hear. And even Ariana in that clip, she says she realizes this anger is not good. And like, all that stuff is very real emotion that's coming through. It's everything else that's sort of set up and weird to me and that I'm not loving. And Vanderpump Rules, up until Scandoval, we had a lot of setup stuff, especially in those last few seasons. And I don't know if you saw the clip of Jax Taylor. I'm sorry to say that name, Jax Taylor. I need to start censoring that word. But he had gone on at his bar. People posted on social media that he was at his bar and he was talking about Vanderpump Rules being set up for the past, since season 6, it's all been scripted. And he said the water tasting was a real low point last week. And he was just on a microphone at that bar that he doesn't own, but his name is on, which really it's basically like me going and writing my name on the wall of a McDonald's and saying I own it. Like, I know we're calling it Jax's Studio City, but I think from what we learned on The Valley last week, I don't know that he has any ownership. So it's basically like I could go write my name on something. I mean, I guess there's a partnership deal, and so I kid. But anyway, he was at that bar, and he was just sitting there with a microphone, which I don't even know why they have a microphone at that bar. What do we got microphones at a bar for? Do we need a microphone? Is it a karaoke bar? Are people singing there? I'm confused. Anyway, he's on a microphone. He's just talking to the crowd as they're eating their beer cheese, and they're trying to enjoy Mama's home cooks. And he's just on there sputing on the microphone saying it's been fake since season 6 and the water tasting low point. And I'm sure Bravo's pissed at him for doing that, because I saw that clip and I was like, oh, I think we all knew that. But it's hard to hear that from another cast member. And so I'm watching it this week and I'm thinking, oh, yeah, all this feels real fake as fuck. Except for the Scandal of it all. I feel like everything's fake as fuck on this show. And really, it kind of always has been, at least for the past. Probably Jax is right. I hate to say that Jax is right. Is Jax right? He's sort of right. He's sort of right in that one specific instance. And I hesitate to even say that because last week on the podcast, I said a couple little tiny things that were maybe not as favorable to Ariana, and a couple things that maybe were a little favorable towards that demon Tom Zinsval. And a lot of people got mad in the DMs. People were yelling at me. And you would have thought I said some terrible stuff. And I went back and listened. I was like, everything I said was pretty innocuous, but we all got to get a grip. We have all got to get a grip, because especially the Real House in New Jersey season's coming. And I can't handle it, because when the Real Housewives of New Jersey season is airing, there becomes this like very intense thing that the fan base has, where they're either Team Melissa or Team Teresa. And there's no middle ground. And people just, I feel like the heads explode if you say something bad about Melissa and good about Teresa, then one side gets mad, or vice versa, and the opposite. Everyone gets so mad. And we're watching reality TV, and we all got to get a grip and have some fun, have some laughs, have some ha-ha, hee-hees, and enjoy what's going on our show. And we've got to remember that a lot of this stuff was filmed a year plus ago. And these relationships, they ebb and they flow. And I've said this a million times on this podcast, but it bears repeating that they are purposely edited to make some people look bad one week and then look good the next week. And they go on a roller coaster with us, and that's totally expected. And it's normal. It's normal. We're supposed to hate some of them 1 week and love them the next week. And of course, we all have our faves and we all stand certain people. And I get that. But we have all got to get a grip because moving into the Real House of New Jersey season, I can't take it. Everyone yelling at me if I praise Teresa or praise Melissa or whatever. And it's like, I'm just watching these week to week and we're just trying to have some fun and have some laughs. And the good reality TV stars, they all know that as well. They all have good senses of humor about all this stuff. So we all have to too. I know we get passionate about it, but remember it was all filmed upwards of a year ago and the relationships are all going to change. So guess what? I hate to spoil this, but in 3 seasons, Melissa and Teresa are probably going to be pretending to be friends again. And in 3+ years, I bet Lala and Ariana will be friends. And I mean, all of these relationships go through this. It's reality TV. Let us all remember that Vanderpump Rules was started as a show about cheating waiters. That's what we're watching, cheating waiters. Let's have some fun. But we do love and support Ariana. And of course, I just want to reiterate that because there seemed to be some confusion because I called out the fact that she had some takeout on the bed that maybe she shouldn't have. And people were mad about that. Mad about that. I'm sorry. We love Ariana. The best. We love her. We love her. But I am also, I think it's okay that we call. I don't think it's good to sort of put any of these people up on a pedestal because then guess what? When they're put up on the pedestal, everybody's going to want to tear them down off that pedestal. So it behooves us to not put our faves up on that pedestal. Okay, that's all I'll say. Okay, back to Vanderpump Rules. We're back on the beach day. We open up. Ariana says he fucking sucks. And she says she's allowed to go tit for tat with that man because she never did anything to him. He did it to her. And she says, fuck everyone who isn't telling him to fuck off. You know, remember, of course, last week we said the rest of the group was shitting their pants, both on the beach and at that pizza party where they ordered the Papa John's. They were all shitting their pants when they were when Ariana was yelling at Tom. And she points out, guess what? I'm allowed to yell at him because he put me through hell. I'm dealing with the grief of the grandmother and the dog, and he left me and hooked up with this friend of mine under the roof of our house that we've lived in for 9 years while I was away at a funeral. Like, of course she has room to be pissed, room to be pissed. And then Tom in his confessional, he brings up the pens and batteries again. Like, the producer even called him out and was like, why are you bringing that up again? You know, the internet dragged you to filth when you brought up last season. And Tom's like, well, oh man, oh, she's just going to have a hard time getting batteries, man. Oh yeah, man, batteries. I was like, Tom, I think they even have it set up on Amazon now where you could just do the subscribe and save. Like, I don't think she'll have that much trouble getting her fucking batteries. She just was doing 6 shows a week or whatever on Broadway. I don't think she's going to have trouble getting a couple Duracells delivered to the house from Amazon. I mean, he's acting like she can't get a pen. They give a pen. Everywhere you go, you get a pen. I don't know what place of business I can go into without getting a pen. Sometimes you leave a CVS and you accidentally steal a pen. You're like, how the fuck did I get this pen? You don't mean to steal it, but you're at counters and everything. There's pens everywhere. There's many a times I get home or I'm folding my laundry and looking at my clothes and realizing like, oh, a pen exploded because I put it in my pants after I went to the bank, right? Like, you just get pens everywhere and he's acting like it's gold. Like, oh my God. Oh yeah, man. I get all the pens and the batteries. Oh yeah, man. I'm like, she can set up subscribe and save. I could do that for her in 2 seconds. It'll be fine. She's got plenty of people around to help her subscribe and save to the batteries and the pens, Tom. So stop bringing it up. Just because you got it, it doesn't mean she can't do it. It just means you took the lead and took the charge to do it. But I'm sure when she's off on her own, she's not going to have a problem getting a goddamn pen or a battery. Batteries too. Everything's chargeable now. You just charge it into the wall. Shouldn't even need a fucking battery. How many things do we use batteries for? Maybe a sex toy or two, but ladies, am I right? That's neither here nor there. The point is you don't need batteries for a whole hell of a lot. And so he's acting like she can't do that. And even the producer's like, why the fuck are you bringing this up again? Like, so what? What is she, her life going to fall apart because she don't have a battery for her remote control? Apple TV, you charge it on the wall. You don't even need a fucking remote for the Apple TV. Not even need one for a remote anymore. See, I told you guys not to get worked up over this show. And now here I am getting worked up over this show. I know. Oh, it's so stupid. I do love these shows though. And so I always feel like I need to remind us because I want to have some fun. I have some laughs. You know, sometimes heartbreak feels good in a place like this. And we need to remember that.
Somehow. Heartbreak feels good in a place like this.
Saving!
Okay. Then we have Sheena, of course, is introducing Schwartz to his former nanny. And I was like, is it a former nanny? I didn't think they officially hired Tori to be the nanny. I don't know. All this Tory stuff, I don't even think I want to talk about it because it actually just sort of makes me pissed. They're all sort of bisexuals, though. I just have to point that out, and I support that because we've seen the Toms. They've kissed each other. Sheena revealed on the after show that she had a relationship with a gal before she met Brock. I don't know if you are watching the after show. I think the after show is so fantastic. I do. I feel like there's a lot of good juicy stuff in the after show. It's on the YouTube channel. Okay, so then... Sheena revealed on there that she had a whole ass relationship. And so she said Brock doesn't want her kissing other gals because he was trepidatious because when he got in a relationship with Sheena, she was in a relationship with a young gal. And so, look, also Katie now is stealing Tori out of spite. And I want Katie and Tori to actually end up together. I would like to see them just ride off into the sunset. They seem to have an easy, breezy, beautiful chemistry, although I am loving the chemistry between her and the ex-husband now that they're divorced. I still think they have more chemistry now than they ever did when they were married. I'm watching them smiling at each other. Even when she was like trying to steal Tori and Schwartz was sitting there, I felt like he was getting all revved up on Katie Maloney. He was getting all revved up like an engine. I swear, I saw it in his eyes, even though she was being mean. And Tori was sort of mean to him before Katie had arrived at this table when Tom Schwartz was talking to some other young gals. It was like he was getting so revved up by Tori being mean. She said, what kind of drink do I like? And he was like, is it tequila? And she's like, no, I like champagne. She's like, you fucking idiot. You know, she said something like that. This 23-year-old gal was just like calling him a dummy. And then Katie Maloney came over and was like stealing Tori away and then also calling him a dumb shit. He was ready for one of them gals to open up the gas flap and yell, fill her up, because his engine was revved. That man was ready to go. Okay, so then we see Sandoval. They're taking water shots at the bar with Schwartz. They were all sort of drunk, right? Katie seemed really drunk. I mean, her eyes were basically completely closed the entire scene. The entire first 10 minutes of this episode, Katie, when she was flirting with Tori, I just felt like the eyes were tired. The eyes were tired in the drunk way. You know, when you have one too many cocktails, at least that's what happens to my eyelids. They just completely fall. And I just look like a tired Muppet because that's what happens when you drink. And I felt like Katie had that look in her eyes, like she had a little too much tequila. Little too much tequila. Okay, so then we have people playing cornhole. Oh, Logan and James were playing cornhole. Remember when there was like a whole storyline about did Logan and James hook up? I mean, this show really, I said it's about waiters cheating on each other, but it's actually about bisexual waiters cheating on each other because there's another situation and we support that. We support all the bisexuals on the show. And I'm glad that finally we're getting some representation on Bravo for some LGBTQs because otherwise they just throw one on the show. And now on Vanderpump Rules, I'm looking around, I'm saying, oh, they're all bisexual. Every last one. Good for them. God bless. Anyway, Logan and James, yeah, playing cornhole. And I was like, wait, did they fuck? And then Brock and Allie are playing table tennis. I'm like, what's going on? My head was about to explode. I felt like I was at an Oprah's Favorite Things taping and I was in the audience. I was like, what's happening? Got to worry about those two. They were just playing table tennis, but I'm like, they all cheat with each other. Now I'm worried about them two, the two new people on the show hooking up. And I'm not saying they even showed any sort of chemistry. It's just from what I know on the show, I'm worried about it. I'm on the edge of my seat. Then we have that scene that we talked about, Ariana and Sheena and Lala. And he just humiliated her on this television show. And then now I feel like that's the other thing I'm pissed at him about is like not only did he humiliate her before, but now I do feel like he's humiliating her this season by not showing remorse or sadness over his relationship with her. Even though they live in the house and there's like this fighting dynamic between the two of them, it still makes me sad. All of it makes me sad. I don't know. Then we have Katie and Tori. Katie reveals that, yes, she had sex with a woman before. She kisses Tori. She likes it. Everyone watches. Katie was wasted. Loved it. And then, oh, you guys, this was one of the most shocking scenes I've ever seen on the show. It was actually a place called Tale of the Pup. And it was a chili dog place where Lala and Joe decided to get hot dogs. That's right. That was a sentence I never thought I'd say in my entire life. But they did go to a place called Tale of the Pup where they got chili dogs. And I didn't even expect to see these two in the scene together, let alone be eating chili dogs, of all things. But God bless. I do love a hot dog. What was that saying on The Real Houses of Beverly Hills? Like a hot dog once or twice a year, Erica Jane. She was right about that, baby. You can't lock her up for that because that was truth. That was the truth serum. And so if that's wrong, then I don't want to be right, because a couple times a year, you just need a hot dog. I'd actually argue more than a couple times a year. I like to go on over to the Wetzel Pretzel and get one that's wrapped in a pretzel. Nothing better than that. Nothing better than that. And I've also started to really like, oh, by the way, at the Wetzel Pretzels, really started to like the pretzels that have the jalapenos and the pepperoni on it. That's right. Delish. De-fucking-lish. I love a Wetzel pretzel. Although every time I eat a Wetzel pretzel, I'm in a pretty precarious mood emotionally. So if you see me eating a Wetzel pretzel at the mall, just run the other way because it means I'm in a very emotional state and you do not need to talk to me in that moment. I need to be left alone. Otherwise, you're going to get an earful and some tears on your shoulder, whether you know me or not. So if you see me at the Wetzel pretzel stand, you run the opposite direction. It means I'm a very emotionally vulnerable place. That's where we find Joe, emotionally vulnerable place at the chili dog stand. So it's another point for Joe, I'm sorry to say, Sloppy Joe's got another one. And I'm not sure if I was Joe, I'd be going anywhere on camera where they serve chili after Schwartz is calling or Sloppy Joseph. I mean, that's not a place that you need to be seen. It's not going to be good for the nickname, Joe. So I don't know if you need help with the branding, but I'm here to help. Don't go to another chili dog place next season on the show. Do not make a chili on the show. Do not do anything chili related because they're already calling you Sloppy Joseph. You don't need anything with loose meats. I don't want to see you making meatballs or meatloaf, nothing with loose meat because it's too close to your nickname now. And then it's going to stick. And we know these things stick for a long time. And so if you want some branding advice, stay away from the chili on screen. This was your one. We'll let it slide this one time. But next season, we can't be having you go to a chili stand because it's not okay. Sloppy Joseph, I'm sorry. She says she thought Ariana and Tom were broken up, which I do believe was a lie. She says she was so distracted by Tom Schwartz. I thought, okay, what were you so distracted by, Joe? What was it? Were you distracted by his bare hooves? The fact that he was never wearing shoes or socks or proper footwear? Is that what you were distracted by? Because then I get it. But it seemed to me like what you were saying is you were so distracted by his beauty, grace, and elegance that you decided to just ignore the couple that was having an affair right under your nose, right next to you, because you were distracted by Tom Schwartz. Tom Schwartz? Schwartz! Tom Schwartz! You were so distracted by Tom Schwartz that you missed the scandal. I'm not buying that. That is a crock of bullshit. That is a crock. You're trying to pee on my leg and tell me it's raining. I will not believe that, Sloppy Joseph. You're trying to lie to my face in a confessional while your legs are crossed. That's right. I clocked how your legs are crossed every confessional. And I will not buy that you just completely were so distracted by Tom Schwartz. Tom Schwartz. Tom Schwartz. You didn't see Scandal because you were so distracted by Thomas Schwartz of Vanderpump Rules. I need to lie down. I need a warm towel or something. Cold towel. Matt, get me a cold towel. I'm going to pass out. You were so distracted by Tom Schwartz. I'm sorry, I don't believe that. I do not believe that. And I will not be bamboozled in that way. And so you could tell me that all you want, but I do not buy it. I do not buy it. Anyway, she also calls Schwartz T-Money. Yeah, that's right. He calls her Joseph and she calls him T-Money. And yet she still was into him. Anyway, he should not be leading her on, but also this is nuts. Then we cut to Topgolf. Topgolf with Ariana, James, Allie, and Katie. Now, I love a Topgolf. I could become so fucking Midwest basic when I see a Topgolf. I fucking love a Topgolf. I love the food at a Topgolf. I love the easy breezy way that you're allowed to do a sport at Topgolf. I love that you're just stationary hitting a ball. You're not moving with a big ass bag on your thing or having to drive a cart. I love it. I love a Topgolf. I'm so basic for a fucking Topgolf. Okay, so then James points out that it is crazy for Katie and Schwartz to be dating the same girl. And it is crazy. And that's another reason why I just know it's all completely a lie. And sometimes you just see something so blatantly, like set up by production. And I can excuse a lot of that on this show or with any of my reality TV shows. But when it comes to the storyline between Tori, Schwartz, and Katie, it's like, okay, guys, let's cool it. Like, we don't need this. Maybe you should have just went back to the drawing board and figured something else out because nobody's buying it. Nobody is buying it. It's all a bunch of bullshit. Okay, so then, Topgolf. There's a group text now without Ariana. That's unforgivable. Unforgivable. And they're just trying to now phase her out of the show. And you know they're going to try to phase Katie and her out of the show. But see, again, I just think the... It would have been kind of more interesting to me if Lala and Sheena just like stayed on the Ariana and Katie side and they started recruiting like Allie and James to that side instead of trying to recruit to the other side. I think they all just like overcorrected and it would have been a more interesting show to me if they would have done all the gals and then let's phase out the towns. What the fuck do we need them for? Let them go off on the distance or something. I don't know. Anyway, what else is happening? Sheena and Lala at the sperm bank. That's right. Lala's having a kid. She's throwing a party, though, to conceive. She said she wants to throw a party for this child because she wants it to be conceived out of love or something. I don't know. I can't read my fucking notes. I'm like trying to read this chicken scratch. I'm like, what the fuck does it say? Lala throwing party conceived. Like, I don't know what the fuck that means. Anyway, I just type quick words on here as I'm watching. Then they start talking about Ariana. Sheena says to tread lightly with Ariana. And Lala says that Ariana refuses to leave the house. She's just sitting in there. But Sheena says, no, she's staying in the house because of pride. And yeah, they talk about how she just needs to get out of there. And they told her earlier in the episode when they sat her down, they were like, we just need to get you out of that house. We got to get you out of there. And I think that's a good friend in a lot of ways. Like, we got to drag you out of this and help you move to the next stage and move to the next and get rid of that man in your life and not be near that man. And it's just going to set any friend back when they have to be in the vicinity of that man. And that's why I worry in general for these couples on these reality shows, because this is their job, but then their job also includes being around this ex. And I would never want to be around my ex. I don't want to have to work with them, no less. And so it is crazy. It's crazy. But it's a weird kind of hell of their own making, because when you sign up for reality TV, it's just like, that's what it is. Or if you put your relationship on reality TV, like, you're fucked. You're really fucked. One day, all of them who are in relationships on reality TV are going to be fucked. Watch out, Craig and Paige. I love you right now, and I'm hoping for the best. I'm just concerned because I've seen time and time again, at least those two aren't on the same show. So Paige just doesn't have to go to Charleston to film. You know, or Craig doesn't have to head on over to the Summer House. But do you see on Summer House, West, who I loving West, but he accidentally posted on social media. He was like showing off these dumplings that he got for takeout, and then was accidentally showing like basically his ball sack on social media. He had to delete it. he had to delete it, but he did accidentally sort of shown his ball sack. And so we salute that. And I'm proud to be an American. Also, did you hear the Melissa Gorga thing? I should have mentioned this earlier, but Melissa Gorga, during the New York earthquake that just happened recently, or a New Jersey earthquake, she had gotten so scared that she thought it was a ghost, and then she went to call 911. Imagine getting that dispatch call, you guys. I don't know if she actually dialed 911, but she said she was like, I went to call 911 and then maybe realized it or something. But I would love to hear the 911 call of Melissa Gorga just calling the 911 dispatcher, who I imagine to be either Halle Berry or Jennifer Love Hewitt, because I've seen them portray 911 dispatchers in media. And so I would love just like Halle Berry answering the phone, like, what's your emergency? And it's Melissa Gorga. Like, yeah, my daughter's not home. And I just have to let you know, I thought there was a ghost. And they're like, okay, well, what the fuck do you want us to do with a ghost? Because we can't send a police officer there to catch a ghost. You call Bill Murray for that. I mean, we don't need one of our officers here in New Jersey to waste time at Melissa Gorga's house to catch a ghost, because they don't know how to catch a ghost. They don't teach that in police school. Do they go to police school? Is that what it is? Anyway, I love that story. I loved it. It made me laugh so, so hard. Okay, where are we at? Let's take a break here. We'll come right back. Find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram. I'm recapping Sex and the City on the Patreon page, which if you go to the website, Patreon, patreon.com/everythingiconic. We'll be right back. Hi, cons. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Now, Rocket Money is so fantastic. I love using it because I have full control over my subscriptions. And I don't know about you all, but sometimes I forget about those subscriptions that I have signed up for previously in the past. And it's so great to get a clear view of my expenses as well. I can see all of those subscriptions in one place. And if I see something I don't want, Rocket Money can help me cancel it with a few taps. So easy. I love how the dashboard shows me this month's spending compared to last month. So it really helps me just be financially secure going forward. And Rocket Money will even try to negotiate lower bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is submit a picture of your bill and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. They'll deal with customer service for you. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/iconic. That's rocketmoney.com/iconic. rocketmoney.com/iconic. Ever since I saw Clueless, I wanted to have the most amazing wardrobe, and that includes all of the clothes inside the wardrobe closet, and that's why I'm excited to talk to you about Quince. Now, Quince has you covered with truly timeless pieces that never go out of style. You'll have them in your closet forever. Quince has all sorts of must-haves. I'm talking Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweaters from $50. I have a blue cashmere crew neck sweater I got from them that I get so many compliments on all the time. I love it. Plus, iconic 100% leather jackets and versatile flow knit activewear. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes us savings all over to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. Love that. Makes you feel good about shopping with Quince. Again, I've gotten a lot of stuff there. Just good quality pieces and a lot of different options if you're looking to upgrade your wardrobe. So indulge in the affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/iconic for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, Quince.com/iconic to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/iconic. And we're back.
Honey, they don't call it a job for nothing.
All right, now we have a scene at Sloppy Joseph's place of business where she's about to give Tom a cut and a color.
Karen,
no!
I...
no!
That's right, she's about to bleach his hair blonde. You know what I have to say about that? I hate to say it. I don't want to say it, but I'm going to have to say it. I have to say it. Electric chair. I mean, bleaching his hair at what? What? Just when I'm starting to feel sorry for her and I feel bad about the way he's dragging her along, she's going to bleach that hair. And did you see the way that it looked? I mean, I had flashbacks of when Katie Maloney bleached her hair and it turned out Garfield orange. I'm talking about the cat, not the president. That's right. She bleached a Garfield orange. I remember that. There was a whole season there where Katie's hair was orange, and now I got to look at the ex-husband with his hair this way. There was orange tints to it as well. I mean, the time is a circle, I guess, because I feel like we're just recycling storylines now. We're just, I don't know what productions is going on over there at Bravo HQ, but we need to get them back at the drawing board because they're all just recycling storylines now. And so I need them to do something else, Okay, so then Katie and Tori, they have like this little date. Obviously, Tori has a better connection with Katie in this fake relationship that's completely made up for television. And so that's it. And they talk about, there's like a singles mixer that is going on. Tom Schwartz ultimately invites Joe because Joe sort of invites herself to the singles mixer. And Joe and Schwartz are talking about how now that he's got the blonde bleached hair, he looks like Eminem and Bieber. And I'm sorry to say, I actually think that he looked like Susie Orman.
Saving!
He did he not? I mean, he put on a blazer. I swear I thought I was watching Susie Orman on MSNBC because that looked like Susie Orman haircut too. It was even styled sort of similarly. And so I don't know that he looked or was given Eminem or Bieber. I was actually seeing Susie Orman maybe eating some M&Ms, but certainly not Eminem. That's not what I got from Tom Schwartz with that bleach blonde hair. N-O. Then we have Katie, Ariana, Sheena, and Lala. They go to this bar for girls' night. And as they were walking in, they were doing this like slow motion. It looked like Mean Girls or Jawbreaker, like one of those slow motion scenes of the gals and a group of four walking down a high school hallway, you know? That's what it was giving me. And I liked the cinematography of it. I really did. And then Lala reveals that she got a hot dog with Joe. And Katie's pissed. She's pissed right away. And Lala says Joe is harmless. But of course, Katie's pissed about Joe because Joe... tried to console Katie, tried to be friends with Katie right after she was getting a divorce from Shula Schwartz, and then come to find out that Joe is living with Shula Schwartz, and now they're fucking, and then developing a relationship. So I get why Katie wouldn't ever want to talk to Joe, and would be pissed. I'd be pissed if my friends were hanging out with Lala, but this is another case of, like, I think production sitting them all down and being like, yeah, got to do something, and Lala over course correcting and deciding to be the one to go get not only the chili dog with Joe, but now, do all these things that seem out of character for Lala. But that's clearly to me what happened, right? Because otherwise it doesn't make any sense. And they, on some level, probably aren't even that mad at Lala for doing some of these things because they all know the show needs to be made. And they're all, this is a job too. We have to remember that. We got to remember that. I don't know. Sometimes I sound like a conspiracy theorist sometimes, I think, because... I feel like I'm always looking at the behind the scenes of what's going on in the show. And maybe I just need to watch the show or focus on what's going on in the show. But that's all I can think about as I'm watching these setup things with like Tori or Lala and Joe getting a chili dog. It's like, it's so overproduced. And the only reason I think they're going along with it is because they had something needed to shift, because it felt like halfway through the season, all of a sudden something shifted. And I think it was a come to Jesus moment that they all had. I don't know. Maybe I'm making that up. I don't know that to be true. All right, then we have this singles mixer night at the Mondrian, and Joe is there because she invited herself, even though she shouldn't have invited herself, especially knowing that she's got a crush on this man and he's not reciprocating it. I don't know why she decided to invite herself along to singles night. But of course, when she's there, she's weird because she's just playing with Schwartz's hair, or should I say Susie's hair, in the middle of the singles night. It's like he's trying to hook up with these other gals and meet these other gals, and then Joe's just over there playing with his hair. And so I don't know. It was orange too in this scene. I'm sorry, but I don't get them either. I also don't get them. I do feel bad that he was leading her on, but I just don't really get them together. I don't know. And by the way, if I were to go to a singles mixer in LA and I see both Toms and Joe there, I'd give up on dating forever because I don't want to be at a place like that. If that's the pool that I'm choosing from, then I'm running. Then I'm fucking getting a dog and a cat and I'm sitting my ass at home. I'm not going to be dating anybody at that point, because if I sign up for a singles mixer at a place called the Mondrian, which I don't know if you know this, it's a really nice hotel. So the Mondrian, I would imagine if I see an advertisement that says singles mixer at the Mondrian, to me, that's like, okay, that's pretty high class. Like that's as best you can get, right? Like I would think the pool of people at a place like that would be good. You know, a good group of people. Mondrian's a great place. So I would imagine I'd walk in there and I'd see a bunch of really great options. But if I were to walk into the Mondrian that night and I see Tom looking like Susie Orman and the other one dressed like a young gal at a Taylor Swift concert, then I would run the opposite direction. And then seeing Joe on the way out, No, I'd give up dating forever. I'd just say, fuck it. I'm not doing it no more. I would say, I'm getting my rocks off where I can. Otherwise, I'm not going on another date. Because that is just, come on. Imagine going to that singles mixer. And then also, we have to see Sandoval flirting with people. And I don't need to see that. I don't need to see that. And he was talking about his woman's jewelry that he was wearing. And he's like, yeah, man, I like to wear different stuff, and I don't care if it's gendered. It's like, okay, run the other way, gals. I keep seeing these young women on screen flirt with that man, whether they be at a pool party or at a beach party or now at the singles mixer. And what are y'all doing? You need to love yourselves. Don't act like you didn't know about Scandoval. You mean to tell me you weren't paying attention to the news? You weren't watching anything? Because Scandoval was mentioned everywhere. The White House was talking about Scandoval. So believe you me, I know every single last one of you knew about Scandoval at this time. And yet you're still miking yourself up and getting on a camera to flirt with Tom Sandoval at this moment in time. What is going on? You all need to love yourselves. I'm sorry. I don't know if they were paid by production, but certainly they deserve some sort of compensation for doing that. Anyone does. Okay, so then Joe says that her and Schwartz are still hooking up, and they're saying, I love you, she says. It's saying, I love you, which that just made me feel uncomfortable. I don't want to know all that. Baby, keep it to yourself. I don't want to know. Like, share that with some other people, not the camera. Because I don't want to, it made me so uncomfortable. Did anyone else feel that way? I don't know. I felt like I got the hives or something. Maybe it's because we had a relationship and a history with Katie and him together and we saw their marriage. But I don't know, seeing Joe say that they're still fecking and then saying, I love you. And I didn't even know that. Having sex, it made me sad too, because him and Katie always had trouble with the sex. Remember she said, your dick don't work. And so now to hear Joe just saying, yeah, we're fucking all the time. And we said, I love you. I'm like, I can't hear this. It's making me super uncomfortable. Keep it to yourself, Joe. I don't want to know. Oh, then we have this paintball scene that was so boring. It was a weird group of people. This was another situation where I thought production said, hey, everybody's got to film together. So James, Allie, Lala, Sheena, put on your best camouflage. You're going to the paintball range because that's what's happening on screen. Otherwise, we got to film with all these other people that we don't know. And there were a lot of those people that we don't really know that well that were there. Some of Tom's friends. And I don't know, there was like some new assistant, Craig. I was like, who are all these randos here? Anyway, I also noticed there was a quick little moment where Brock grabbed his penis. And I just have to point that out. I'm sure someone will like GIF it or something at some point. But yeah, I noticed it. I clocked it. Okay, so then there's James's team and Sandoval's team. I don't know. I don't really care about this. I did like to see the close-ups, actually, of Brock's dump truck ass. So that was nice. Otherwise, I wasn't into this. But Lala points out that Sandoval is friends with very young people. She's like, who the fuck is everyone here? And then Lala says Katie's been unhappy for a while, and she's been babying her. So now Lala's completely turning on Katie, which also feels false. And so it's given us a TV show. So I think we have to think of it in two different ways. Like, yes, is that wrong? Should we, is in real life, for it's terrible to do. But then also we have to look at it as a television viewer and think like, okay, at least we're getting some. At least somebody's clocking into work to do some. You know what I mean? Is that terrible to say? So yes, it's two things. Two things can be true at once. Like, thank you for clocking into work, but also we're going to call it out. Get it? Got it. Good. Okay. So then Schwartz's apartment, which I see a friendship bracelet. Did anyone see the friendship bracelet? That's right. He had a friendship bracelet at his apartment that just said, I don't know if I should spell it, or it said, Joe, my gosh, Joe, my gosh, Joe, my gosh. It said, Joe, my gosh, Joe, my gosh, like JOMYGOSH, Joe, my gosh, Joe, my gosh. Baby, keep it to yourself. I don't wanna know. There's all these things. There's all these weird little things, like seeing a close-up of a Joe My Gosh friendship bracelet, and then also like those scary, weird pictures of on the fridge that they show close-ups of, which are production, like pointing out, like, isn't this weird? Like, we're in Uncanny Valley a little bit here, which I know we're going to talk about the Valley in a second, but that's very Uncanny Valley over there on the Valley. But this was a moment in Vanderpump Rules. It's like every time we're at that apartment, or I see Joe and Tom in a scene together, or any scene with Joe where it's getting a chili dog or making a smoothie with Schwartz, it's like every single time I feel like it's Uncanny Valley, and they're doing all the things to point it out. It's like production or cameraman is just focusing on the picture of Joe on the fridge that's like a little weird, and then the Joe My Gosh bracelet, and they're just pointing out like, look how weird this fucking thing is. Look how weird this whole situation is. It's so weird. And then Tom arrives, and when he arrived, Joe was doing like a bird call or something. Was it a bird call? Was it like a bird whistle? What was going on there? I don't know. She like snorted and did a bird call, I think. That's what I wrote in my notes, at least. Not sure if it's true, but something like that happened. I don't know. I know sometimes you're watching a Joe scene, you're like, what's going on? Your whole equilibrium's off. You know, don't stand up too quickly. You'll fall right down because it's not safe. It's not safe when you're watching a Joe scene because it throws you all off. You might not even realize it as you're watching it, but it throws you all off. Uncanny Valley. But I was pissed at Schwartz, actually, because I just, Joe, look, he shouldn't have been hanging out with her at all. If he wasn't ready for a relationship, and anyone out there, if you aren't ready for a relationship, like, that's totally acceptable. You just have to communicate with the other person that you don't want a relationship. And maybe he did, but I've been watching Schwartz long enough to know that the way he probably said it, if he said it at all, was probably, oh, I don't know if I want to date right now. You know, he probably said it like one time in that fucking baby voice. And so maybe she didn't take it in. And so he probably went around thinking like, well, I told her, I was upfront about it. And it's like, no, you did it in a baby voice. She probably didn't even hear it, because I don't think the only people that can really hear that are dogs and people with supersonic hearing. But there's no reason that he should be leading her on this way and for this long, and then to live there and to, it's very clear the minute I met Joe, we could all see on screen that it's like she had this big thing for him and he maybe wasn't as interested. But it's like, so if we see that, he had to have seen that. So I just think he need to have been up front. And I just hate when these men. And then she even says, she's like, our relationship's so easy. Don't you agree? Don't you agree? We will be all old and stuff. And she says, I got feelings for you. And she says, I would never pressure you. I always just let you do you. And it was so heartbreaking. So heartbreaking. And she said in her confessional, I can't even say it. Maybe this broke my heart. She said she just wants him to be happy because she thinks he's the best. She does really love him. It's love. After the way that he treated her in that scene and otherwise, for her to then go in the confessional and say, I don't even care about that. I just want him to be happy. That broke my heart. It did. And then she calls her dad at the end. And as she's like storming out of the scene with Schwartz after he just broke her heart, she's trying to call her dad because she's heartbroken. And he's just chasing after her saying, Joseph, Joseph, in that baby voice. Joseph, 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 I saw you, Joseph, Joseph, come here, Joseph. Oh, Joseph, don't do it, Joseph. Oh, Joseph, Joseph. Like, imagine a 40 fucking 2-year-old man chasing after you down a hallway of an apartment building, yelling, "Oh, Joseph, Joseph, don't come back here, Joseph. I know you're Joseph. Joseph, don't do that, Joseph." You'd be like, what the fuck? If I lived in that building, I'd be like, who's this man? Who is this 40-something shouting down the hall in a baby voice to a woman named Joseph? I mean, come on. Okay, so then that's the end. Next week, I didn't see a preview for next week. Did we get a preview for next week? I didn't see it when I watched it. Anyway, that's Vanderpump Rules. Let's take one more quick break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk The Valley. Yeah, yeah. This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft, and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
And we're back. Okay, The Valley. What I really want to talk about The Valley is this whole thing between Kristen and Michelle. And Kristen keeps implying that she's got all this information on Michelle. So she went to her and said, like, I've done nothing to protect you. Like, protect you from what? And then she also texted her later on. She said, your secrets are safe with me. And I was like, Kristen, first of all, why are you acting like... She's acting like a villain on like Dallas or some nighttime soap from the 80s and 90s, Melrose Place or something. And I love her for it. But it's like very that kind of behavior to just text someone off camera that you're filming a TV show with and being like, your secrets are safe with me. Like after you just like threw them under the bus and labeled them with these terms racist and everything, it's like so ridiculously over the top Dallas. I don't know. That's the only thing I could think of with it. I love it. And speaking of Dallas, I also love seeing Sherry in the animal print and the frosted lip. You know, Sherry, Brittany's mom, always love seeing her in an animal print. I thought, is that Cruz with a leopard plush? No, it's Sherry in an aggressive animal print and probably a frosted lip and kitten heel. And I wouldn't have it any other way. And getting to see her and Cruz and getting to know Cruz a little bit more. Now, Cruz is going into speech therapy, and I'm happy we're getting to see him a little bit. I feel like I was just saying last week or a week before, I was like, I just want to, I don't know, I like Cruz. I like seeing all the kids. I don't know, that might not be popular. I feel like no one wants to see the kids. And more, I'm liking seeing the kids on here. Maybe because I just would rather look at them than their parents. I just hate the fucking parents so much that I'm like, show me the kids instead. But I'd like to watch Cruz walking down the street way more than I'd like to see Jax walking down to his bar down the street, because I don't know. I'm worried about him going to that bar. And they keep alluding to the fact that he's at that bar all the time. And I'm worried. I'm concerned about it. Then we also have Jason and Janet. Jason said Kristen is the Valley's Al Capone, which just made me laugh. And he also had his legs out this week. And you know I love a gam out on a man. And he had some nice gams. And so we appreciate that, Jason. So good job bringing out the gams. Also, they keep calling that Capri night. Wait, they keep calling it Capri instead of Capri. Am I hearing it wrong? Did Jesse, I think, said that maybe last week? And now I'm hearing everyone's saying it different. Are we saying it Capri or Capri? I'm like, what's happening here? What's happening here? Now we have also Danny and Nia. They're kind of flops, right? They're a little bit flops. Although Jax did sniff Danny's pit this week. And so maybe he could stick around. He's been pantsed on this show. The only thing Danny has contributed to this show is he was pantsed and then Jack sniffed his pit on camera. It's like, that's all I remember from this Danny fellow. And honestly, maybe that's enough. Maybe get him a second season, because maybe that's enough. Honestly. But that county fair that they went to, it was like all the guys were there with the kids. It worried me. I was concerned for all of the children. And also, I didn't like them all just talking about getting fucked. They were all just sitting there with the children. And Jax was like, yeah, I haven't fucked Brittany for 6 months or whatever. And then Jesse's like, oh, I fucked my wife yesterday. And then the other one, Danny's like, oh, you should fuck all the time. Do you do that quiz to see how much you're fucking? And it was like, Cruz and Annabelle were just sitting there like, what are my parents talking about? They're going to go to kindergarten the next day and they're going to tell all the other kids. They're going to be like, yeah, our dads took us to the county fair and told us how much they fucked their wives. And it wasn't a lot. And then the teacher's going to say, oh, well, tell me how much. And they'll know the exact numbers because they were talking about it right in front of them. All those dads just right at the county fair, let alone the rest of the people at a county fair, don't want to hear that either. As they're eating a corn dog and a cruller. I mean, that's what you do at a county fair. You don't want to be hearing about Jax Taylor and how much he hasn't been fucking Brittany. I'm not hearing that. It's like, I'm just trying to go get my funnel cake and enjoy myself, you know, win some prizes. And those poor kids and other people there. And then also Danny suggesting that love language test. And I think he said it was a book. And I'm like, Jax is not going to read a book. Like, if there's one. If there's ever been a person I've seen on television that has never read a book, it's him. I don't even know if he knows how a book works, to be honest. Like, I bet you if you put a book right in front of that man, he wouldn't know how to open it. He would just stare at it. He'd be like, what's this? I don't even think he'd know what to do with it, let alone read it. And so I don't think he's going to be opening a book to take the love language test. Sorry, Danny. Sorry to break that news to you. And then Jesse talks about his wife with a trench coat and candle wax. This was right in front of Isabella and Cruz. I mean, come on. And then Jack said he used to want to fuck Brittany 5 times a day. And of course, Isabella's like, stop telling me that. She don't want to hear that. She's like, let's talk about, I don't know. She was probably trying to change the subject right in that stroller. She's probably shouting about Bluey or something to try to change the subject. She'd much rather hear about the Bluey character than how many Blueys Brittany gave to Jax last week, you know? So she was probably trying to change the subject right there with Cruz, but they couldn't hear him in the stroller. But they certainly shouldn't have been talking about it right in front of the kids, those men. Come on. Okay, so then Luke and Kristen, we got to talk about this. Luke doesn't want to move to L.A. And that's a problem, buddy, because we got a TV show to film.
It's your problem.
So we're going to need you to get to L.A., pack your bags, rent a U-Haul. Because this is a television show. You're working for us now. You're on our time and our dime. And so we're going to need you to get to work. And so rent that U-Haul and get your ass to California, because we can have seasons of this where you're not filming or living in the same place. So you put on that mic pack and you get your things and you get your ass to L.A., at least for the sake of us in this TV show. Okay, I don't know what's going on with your relationship, but you get your ass to L.A. Kristen does say, though, that Luke has a giant dick and a huge libido.
Oh, my God, girl.
Love that. Does he have a job? What's his job? I don't know if we know his job. Maybe they told us and I just wasn't paying attention. Moving on. Brittany and Danny and Nia, they're planning some like romantic thing for Luke and Kristen. And so they're putting all these roses down. Anyway, then there's this Be the Match event, which we love. This is a great organization. If you're not familiar with Be the Match, it's a great organization to look up. And Jesse arrives in a crazy outfit. I think he just wants to be villainous. When they stepped aside and they were talking to Kristen, he was just giving me villain energy, where he was like storming off and me like, Oh, Kristen, oh, I'm so mad. And he was just like very performative, villainous energy, which I appreciated. But I think he went on camera this entire season and just knew he was going to fulfill that role. And they all sort of make up at the end. Zach does, and Kristen, and they all decide to have a drink and move on. Next week, we get girls' night again. And then it's also revealed that Michelle, she doesn't poop in front of Jesse. Yeah. And then Nia, she gets the baby blues. That's it. That's our show. I love you all so much for listening. Thank you. Stay safe. You go to everythingiconic.store. We have Everything Iconic merch available. You can get signed copies of my books. You can also get, we have t-shirts and all sorts of hats and fun stuff. So everythingiconic.store, everythingiconic.store. I love you all so much for listening. Have a great week and we'll talk next week. Oh, I also have an interview coming out with Busy Phillips. So it'll be on the podcast feed. It might already be on the podcast feed as of this listening. So check it out. It's Busy Phillips, who's in a show called Girls 5 Eva, which is so fucking funny. If you haven't watched Girls 5 Eva, it's on Netflix. One of my favorite comedies on TV right now. I mean, fantastic. There's three seasons out. So bingeable. If you like Tina Fey's work, so if you like 30 Rock, it's got that vibe of 30 Rock and it's fantastic and Busy Phillips in it. So anyway, love you all so much for listening and we'll talk next week. Bye-bye.